Thanks, Steve. Hi, guys. It's Bill Luck from 20 Snyder. We're thrilled that you're listening. Enjoy yourselves. We'll be here for a while. I have to confess, I didn't hear your answer. We were talking to Steve off air. Steve attended a wedding over the weekend. And Steve said, do you guys like weddings? And I didn't hear your answer. Did you say you do like weddings or you do not like weddings?
I don't really love weddings anymore.
What happened? What changed?
I got married. Nothing could top my wedding.
And then you drew a line.
Yeah, because I was the center of attention. We had the first and second dance.
Yes.
I arrived with a bottle of Miller Lite, a bottle of champagne, and a smoke in my mouth. I got out of the limo like that. Really, I can't have that much fun.
To the shock of everybody at the wedding. We were all shocked.
Although I'm shocked the photographer did not capture that. I would have liked to have seen
that.
But
put yourself in the place of the photographer who's photographed dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of weddings, and he sees that and says, oh, this will embarrass the bride at some point in her life. I better not make a document of this. I better not save this for all of eternity.
He knew me very well. Oh. He knew that wouldn't embarrass me. He just wasn't out there when we arrived late.
Is it the wedding ceremony that you're not thrilled with, or is it the reception you're not thrilled with, or what is it that you've experienced enough of?
I just don't love to dance anymore.
Yep.
I don't know how to have fun. I think that's it. I'm no fun, as that girl in Nashville once told me.
Yep, she was right.
You're not fun.
And
I'm not fun.
Your response to her then?
Put him up. Put him up.
Come on.
I may have sworn at her.
Yeah.
That's a long time. That was a different wedding.
That proves how fun you are.
Because that was back when you were fun.
Right.
It was an insult.
You know what? That is true.
Today you would just think, if that whole scenario, you would go,
boy. You got me pegged.
You nabbed it. Don't you think if you don't, like, all right, so I don't dance at all.
Yeah.
And I don't drink much.
Right.
So for a person in those categories, a wedding reception is a long night.
Okay, so you're agreeing with me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, because you made me feel sort of guilty.
No, I'm not trying to make
you feel
guilty.
Sorry, Mark Carmen, I don't think I was invited anyway, but... Now, our producer, Kevin Richter, got married to his wife, Sarah.
It was very nice. Everything about it was nice.
It was nice, and Jim and I actually stayed and danced, and I saw you leave early, and I saw Bertrand leave.
Yeah.
And we tried to stay, and then Jim is like, look at all these young whippersnappers. I'm
right.
Like, let's get out of here.
Right. Yeah.
But now, see... So what's your question, staying late into a wedding or enjoying a wedding? Because I loved being at that wedding.
Oh,
that
it was a great wedding.
Yeah,
I have to say.
I know you're not saying it wasn't, Wendy, but I mean, I really enjoyed seeing other people.
Yeah.
And
I had a good time at that wedding. But
doesn't a lot of it depend on who you're sitting with and who you're around at the reception?
Yeah, did Steve sit with us? No wonder he had fun.
Well, how memorable.
I don't think I did.
I don't think you did. Did you?
I have no idea.
I know you and your lovely wife, Terry.
We were there
and
at
I,
the same table. Yeah. Yep.
I think Bertrand was there.
But Terry and I have been at so many weddings over the years where there's a table that I always refer to as the odds and ends table. They don't have enough, like, business friends or people from Lamont. Or, you know, there's always some category of how you're sat.
I've never sat at that table.
You got to work your way up to the people of Lamont table. So many times there will be a table or sometimes two where they go, well, there's two in that group. There's three in that. I don't know what to do with that guy. We'll just throw them at the
They'll
odds and ends
along.
Table. Yeah. So many times we've been at that table and it makes for a long evening sometimes.
I seriously have never been at that table. I've always been with people I know.
Yeah. More times than not, I'm at that table.
But sorry about
but
the few times you weren't. Was that at my wedding?
No, at your wedding, it was radio industry people.
And you had a good time?
Yeah,
right.
I had a very nice time.
With radio industry people?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of personalities.
Yeah, a lot of on-air radio personality types. Mike and Mike.
They were not invited.
Was Roma, that but not Don Wade, just Roma. That was weird.
I didn't even know them then.
I know, that's why it was weird.
She
Roma,
was my
up?
Flower girl.
Yeah.
I had to put her somewhere.
That was weird. A weird choice.
Did you sit with Ed Obradovich or no? He was
no,
at my
he was
in-laws.
At the former Bear table.
Yeah.
He was sitting. His date was Wayman Bryant.
Weird.
I don't know. Your guest list was a very peculiar mix of people.
It is hard. That was the hardest part, is coming up with a seating chart. It really is difficult.
Yeah. Because a lot of times within a family, there's people you can't not only sit at the same table, but you can't put near somebody.
Right.
You know,
oh,
somebody
she's
will go,
fighting with this person.
Victor and Debbie, that what an ugly divorce. You can't put Victor and Debbie anywhere near each other.
How did you know Victor and Debbie? That is from my wedding.
See, I think if you want to have a fun wedding with stories that last years and years, you put Victor and Debbie together.
Yes.
Again, you
yes.
want to be the story that day. You don't want your guests to be.
Now, I will say, after saying this, because anytime anyone can't invite us to it, like if they go, you know, we had to cut it down, you didn't make the cut, I always act upset, but then inside I'm like, yes.
Isn't that the best?
Yes.
We have to keep it to a bare minimum.
Right.
Oh, that's too bad. And then you're
you
like,
you guys are
yeah.
terrible.
I know. Really, we are bad
that's
talking
awful.
About it.
But, so one time, when I was much younger, a couple I knew was getting married, and I went to them like, hey, you know, you better invite me. You better invite me to the wedding.
I hate people like that.
I still regret it. I still
why, Steve?
Because clearly I wasn't married at the time, and I didn't realize how hard it would be
oh,
to
sure.
come up with a list. And looking back, I probably wouldn't have been invited to the wedding.
Oh.
And I was. And
but you kept badgering him.
Yeah. Well, I did it a couple times, yeah, and I do. I still feel badly about that.
When I was doing nights here, my producer is a guy named Dan Chagrou, who worked at the station for many years. He was the nighttime producer for probably 15 years, right? Such a nice guy. And he and his then fiance, now wife, were getting married. And I said to him, I said, I have heard you go through the trials and tribulations of trying to narrow the list down to a certain number. Please, I'm begging you, I'm not trying to be nice, I mean this so sincerely, do not invite me to your wedding. I'll be hurt if you do invite me to your wedding. Don't do it. And he goes, it would really mean a lot to me for you to not be there. I go, it would mean more to me to not come to your wedding. So we hugged, and we felt great about it, and I mean, it was the right thing to do. Because he had these lists. He would bring these lists
to people.
It's
hard whittling it down.
If I invite that guy and that guy, I got to invite her and him, and I don't want to.
Well, I appreciate you doing that because it opened up a spot for Sharon and me.
Yeah, Steve and Sharon got to enjoy the wedding.
We worked at another place when I got married, and there politically I felt the need to invite certain people that if I hadn't worked there, there's no way.
Of course.
Sorry, Bill, to bring this up.
Am I that one guy?
Yeah.
Right.
But you know what
that.
I mean? So
right.
That's a whole weird situation as well. You feel you need to invite your bosses.
Yeah.
It's just,
yes.
just elope, people.
That's the way to play it. Just elope. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show ahead. You're all invited. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Laffin, it's Wendy Snyder. If you want to reach us during the show, 312-981-7200. That's both the call line and the text line. Again, 312-981-7200. Can we talk about Cindy Crawford and why people are upset with Cindy Crawford?
Yes.
Would you agree with me, before I tell you why, that Cindy Crawford is one of the most stunning people to ever walk the planet Earth?
100%.
She's just beautiful.
Naturally beautiful.
Yes.
I mean, you see her with no makeup and you're like, oh my God, that's natural
right.
beauty.
Sometimes, on my way home, I pass by the store, it's a liquor store, and there's a poster in the window that has George Clooney and Randy Garber, who is
Gerber.
Cindy Gerber.
Do they shop there?
The Collision and Glass guy.
Oh.
Did you know that's who she was married to? The guy from Gerber Collision and Glass.
I did not know that. Beep, beep.
Randy Garber or Gerber? I'm confused. It's Randy.
Gerber.
I just call him Randy. So there's a picture of them because they have some sort of alcoholic beverage together. They have their own company. And it's the two of them just hanging out at the beach. And in my head, I'm going, that guy's married to Cindy Crawford. If I was going to do an ad like this, I would say to Cindy Crawford, my wife, could you also be in this picture? Because I think that will sell more of our product. Wouldn't that be tough to be married to her and go, no, just take a picture of me with Clooney. That's better.
Yeah, but, you know, he wants to do something on
his own.
And the reason you're confused is he spells his name R-A-N-D-E.
Oh.
It's Randy Gerber.
Okay, Randy Gerber. Right,
I didn't know he was in cahoots with...
With Clooney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In cahoots with Clooney. Wasn't that the name of your movie?
That never sold. It was a script
why.
That just laid around for years. Cindy Crawford found herself on the receiving end of body shaming.
What?
You're hearing me right. After she posted a picture of herself in a bathing suit. Now, I don't know if you've seen this picture, but it's flawless. Everything about this picture is flawless.
You just drooled a little on the microphone.
A little. In an Instagram post on Wendy. No, you're Wendy, right?
Don't draw your posts on Wendy.
Go ahead.
The iconic model, aged 53, showed off her beach body as she leaned on a wooden lakeside pillar.
What is there to complain about in
that's
that picture?
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's perfect.
It's pretty great.
She looks stunning. And usually a person would say she looks stunning for 53.
No.
I'm not saying that. She looks stunning. There's no age involved. She showed off her beach body as she leaned on a wooden lakeside pillar, wearing a stylish hat and sunglasses. A little bit of lake light, she captioned the snap.
And it's from, like, her midriff up.
Yeah.
She's bathed in light, and then the bottom half of her is in a little bit of a shadow.
Yep. Just the way we like our Cindy Crawford, with just a touch of shadow.
Our Cindy Crawford?
Yeah. All right, keep going.
Crawford did receive many compliments for the photo. Good, my emails went through. But many users were not as receptive and bashed the model for posing in a bikini at the age of 53. Here's what some of them wrote. Put your seatbelt on. You're going to love this. You are old now. I don't think you are living in reality, one unimpressed user wrote. Men do not foam at the mouth at 55-year-old women. Trust me.
Okay, I want to see this person's profile. And instead of seeing them, I'll see a cat or a dog or a parrot.
I guarantee you. I promise you. At least one picture of a cat. Getting a little old for this, another commenter said.
God.
Adding a cringing emoji. In light of the negativity, Crawford's fans swiftly responded to the naysayers and assured the model that she had nothing to worry about. There are negative comments about this picture? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, one confused user wrote. Must be a jealous bunch. Yes, bunch. I would have used a different word. Go, Cindy. They are jealous, another supportive commenter wrote. I am 80 now, but when I was 56, I wore bikinis when I swam in Greece. But I did not look as good as you. You rock, in all caps.
Excuse me, but the 80-year-old could still wear a bikini.
Yes.
There are people who wear bikinis. Some look better than others.
Yes.
Some look surprisingly good. All different shapes, sizes,
but
colors.
It's up to you, the wearer of the bikini, right?
You know, there are some guys wearing Speedos that shouldn't be doing it.
Some. Almost all. Nearly everybody.
I think I'm one of the few people who can pull it off. And when I say
not at work. That's the one thing that we keep saying to you. On a beach, yes, but not in the newsroom.
Different times, Bill.
I guess it is.
He's trying to liven up the newsroom. Or does he wear it during the Wintrust business lunch?
This just in. He comes in.
It's all.
Beep, 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 beep. When you look at this picture, Wendy, and I know you're looking at it right now, when you see it, all you want to do is applaud her and say, good for you. You look better than ever. I don't know how anyone in their right mind could see this picture and go, oh, come on, inappropriate. That's horrible. What are you doing?
I just don't understand it, which, can I just say, shows you that when someone puts some ugly trolley thing on your Facebook page,
yeah,
it's all about them. It's not about you. Because
you're right.
Anyone that can complain about this, there's another Instagram picture that shows her, and you can see like some crow's feet. She has some lines.
Yeah.
She's in her 50s. She looks beautiful.
Right, right.
Why isn't somebody complaining about that? Oh my God, you're too old to show your face.
Right.
Put a bag over your head.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I am so sick of other people. Would you go up to her in person this particular
and say... Oh, imagine this. Right.
Get out of the bikini, old lady.
I could see you saying the first half of it, but the old lady part is offensive. Right. That's where we draw the line.
Please get out of the bikini.
Please.
I am going to boycott Facebook.
No more Facebook for you. You're done.
As soon as I can sort through who killed Jeffrey Epstein, then
move on to this. Years ago, my first agent in town in Chicago was Stuart Talent. So the Stuart part, they handle TV and movies and commercials, but they have a modeling division, Elite. And when you went to their offices, Stuart Elite, you would either go in one door for the acting and stuff or the other door, which was the modeling end. It was very easy to tell who should go through which door. But when you'd go in at the reception desk, their hottest property was Cindy Crawford. So they had, I'm not exaggerating, 50 or 60 pictures of Cindy Crawford at the front desk. And when I would go in, there was a guy there named Oliver who worked at the front desk. And I always say, Cindy and I are close. Is she coming in today? Just as a joke. And he'd always go, no, I don't think she's scheduled for anything today. Probably toward the end of the week. I never met her. I never came close to meeting her. So one day, as I'm walking in, Oliver's on the phone with somebody. And he says to the person on the phone, oh, I have a friend of yours here. He wants to talk to you. And he hands me the phone. and it's Cindy Crawford.
What'd you do there, Mr. Backpedal?
Here's what I said, and I quote, and I handed him the phone and I ran out into the hallway like a grown up would do.
You know, even if that wasn't their client, I would still have pictures of Cindy Crawford all
right.
over the lobby.
It's good for business, isn't
she
it?
She is just absolutely 100% beautiful.
Right.
No way around
right.
it.
Do you think, as she's taking and posting this picture of herself in the bikini, she says to herself, there will probably be some people who see this and are upset by it? Or if you're hurt, you just go, this shows that at any age, you can be attractive and stunning and perfect.
The latter.
Right?
She wasn't thinking anyone was going to troll her. She's Cindy freaking Crawford.
I know.
All right. Well, I just don't understand it.
Does the person who posts something negative, do they go away feeling better after that? I don't get the procedure.
Yeah, you know, people who aren't feeling good inside, you know, they have issues, so
right.
they'll put it on someone else.
Right.
It probably makes them feel better immediately, but then they're like,
what have I done?
They look in the mirror and they're like, oh, crap.
Right.
It didn't change anything.
I would so love to see photographs of the people who posted negative stuff about her. I would love to
see
it.
You mean of the cats? Or dogs.
Yes, right.
You can always tell when someone slams you. Maybe you go check out their profile, you know. Let me just see, you know. Maybe
right.
this person is not the same as me. Maybe they're younger or
right.
older. And there's never a picture of them.
Right. It's always their cat. Here's a picture of me in Whiskers at Fort Dells.
Not even me in Whiskers. It's just Whiskers in a little tuxedo.
Right. Right. And then you understand it. Then you go, okay.
Yeah.
So it all makes sense. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Yeah, getting the lead out. That's what we're going to do. It's Bill Leff. It's
Did
Wendy Snyder.
Did we switch formats?
We should.
All right.
All right. This does not surprise me, but we were talking about weddings earlier.
Yes.
And now there's a breakup.
A show big business
one.
Breakup.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus
yep.
and Liam Hemsworth.
Yep.
Here's my question to you.
Brother of Thor.
That's what it says on his business card.
his just says, I'm not Thor. I'm fine, I'm not Thor.
Liam Hemsworth is mourning the end of his marriage to Miley Cyrus. The 29-year-old actor has been spending time with his brother, Chris Hemsworth. Is that Thor?
He's Thor.
In Australia. As Miley has been flaunting a new romance with Brody Jenner's ex, Caitlin Carter.
I don't think the Hemsworth-Cyrus union lasted a year, did it?
No, I believe I read over the weekend that it lasted 9 months, maybe.
Oh.
But they were together 10 years before they got married.
Were they really?
That's what I read somewhere. You don't understand what it's like, Liam told Daily Mail Australia. When asked about the split, I don't want to talk about it, mate. Cyrus, 26, and Hemsworth called it quits after less than 1 year of marriage. They'd been together in an on-again, off-again relationship for a decade.
Well, I applaud him
married?
For the decade. Well, because they're both very traditional people. You know that about Miley Cyrus.
He's more than she is, although he's the brother of Thor, so never mind.
I don't know what happened, but I would think, this is just strictly a guess, that it would take a lot to be married to Miley Cyrus.
Yeah,
don't
but
you imagine that?
But he knew that if he was with her for
sure.
about 10 years.
Yeah,
it
right.
said on again, off again. So that's my question. If you're with someone and it's working, honest to God, I'm just throwing it out there. Why even bother getting married?
That's a good question.
At this point in time, you know, when we were growing up, you get married. That's just what you do.
Right.
Now you can do things in different order.
Although, weren't there some people, like on the periphery of your family, maybe friends of your parents or something, who just never did?
No.
mean, it's, no, everyone, they all got married.
We were not a very progressive family.
Oh.
You know, it's interesting to me, I didn't really know the story until you started talking about it, but so she's dating a woman now?
Yeah, well, they were.
And that's not even part of the, it's like, that's where we are now, it's just
right.
part of it.
No one, right, that part doesn't.
It's not even the
there
story.
There was a time where that
right.
would have been so shocking.
Exactly.
Wait, did you say she's dating a woman now? Wait, that can't be. That's got to be a typo. But now it's just, that's acceptable.
Although, you know Miley. You don't know her personally. But, you know, she was on vacation with a girl.
Yeah.
I can't remember the girl's name. And, you know, they were showing some PDA. some public displays of affection.
Yeah.
But that could just be goofing around.
Those are little those are chocolate chips, right, that you put in your milk?
Brody Jenner's ex, Caitlin Carter.
Which one is, forgive me for not knowing this, but I don't know this. Right. Which one is Brody Jenner?
I don't even
know. Who is that?
I think anyone who's involved with any of those.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Thor's little brother.
Wait,
with the Jenner Kardashians, Steve?
Yeah. There's not a Brody Jenner, is there?
There used to be.
There is on Page Six.
Did they cancel Brody Jenner? I've heard the name, but I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a boy Jenner. I knew you had Caitlyn and Kendall.
Yeah.
I watched about 4 episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It was on. I couldn't stop.
Good for you. Very good for you.
Who's the mom?
Chris.
Chris was getting her best friend a facelift, and she didn't want to insult her by saying, "You look old," but, you know, I know she'd want it, and she delivered the news, and the friend was very excited.
Oh. So then Brody is the brother who... Is he involved in that show? I've heard the name a bunch of times, but that's all I know.
I don't think so. There's Brandon, Brody, Kendall, and Kylie. I didn't know there were the boys.
Yeah.
So they must not be involved.
Or at least on a much lower level.
Sam Brody Jenner is an American television personality, disc jockey, and model. He appeared in the reality television series The Princes of Malibu.
Never heard of it.
I haven't heard of half these people.
Who's Mary Lou Jenner? Was she on Taxi? I think she was on Taxi. But Steve, you're right. There was a time where that would have been the headline of the story.
Exactly.
But now that's way, way deep in the story.
I just, you know...
Which is great.
Yeah, it is. Not for any of the parties involved, because their marriage just broke up after less than a year.
Guys,
so
just weird.
You can't sell this as being great.
It's not great. He's hurting. Liam is hurting. And
how about that, though? He obviously is, but it's so... I mean, he's one of your Hollywood handsome guys. So in the old days of Hollywood, a guy like that would be like, dames, I'll find another one. It's no big deal. But now he's like, no, mate, as they say in Australia, I'm hurting. This is too painful to talk about.
He's from Bruce Jenner's first marriage, the two boys.
Oh.
Or three sons from previous marriage.
Oh.
Just so
Robbie,
you know.
Chip, and Ernie. Ernie?
Ernie Archer.
Yeah. I think it's Hermes.
Or is it Hermes? Yeah.
All right. So I just wonder why even bother getting married. If you've been together for 10 years and it's working, I mean, really.
Right,
why?
I know.
And also, if you give somebody a wedding gift and their marriage doesn't last a year, shouldn't it be returned?
That's the best question in here. I'm guessing at the wedding there was probably a large contingency of Marvel superheroes, since he's Thor's brother.
Right.
So whatever gift the Hulk gave them, does the Hulk get that gift back?
I don't know.
Hulk sad about news of marriage. Hulk want gift back.
Was Hulk in the wedding party?
I don't think he was in the wedding party, but I know he was there. He'd have to go.
Well, that was shocking news to hear.
You know what? It is and it isn't. Because whenever that type of celebrity gets married, you don't even say it out loud. You just go, well, I don't think this is going to break any records. You know? Just like, I don't know Miley Cyrus personally, obviously, but anytime you see her, you just go, this is a very non-traditional person.
Yeah. But again, the history of them being together so long, you kind of thought it was going to work.
You said 10 years, right? Yeah.
You said on again, off again.
Yeah, but still, they spanned a...
That's the part I remember is, like, every time you go, okay, they're back together, everything's fine with them, then the headline reads that they've split, and you go, well, that's for the best, that wasn't meant to be. No, wait, now they're back together again. There was a lot of on and off.
Why doesn't Brody Jenner and Liam Hemsworth get together to drown their sorrows?
That's a very good question. I don't know the answer. Right.
And I would like to know Brody Jenner's reaction to this. Is he upset?
I don't know that the people in the Jenner Kardashian family get upset anymore.
But he's not a Kardashian. He's a Jenner from the first.
But the whole family pack, I think they're beyond getting upset because so many things have happened in that family that they're just like, oh, it's another episode, whatever.
They don't react until they read the script.
Right. They're told how they feel about it.
I just don't understand, why I watch 3 back-to-back, maybe 4 back-to-back episodes.
Oh, no. Is that an hour per episode?
I don't even know. It's just all of a sudden my memory was erased. I don't know how long I was in front of the TV.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like it, and yet I couldn't turn it off.
You just kept watching it.
I'm not going back to it again, but it's pretty popular, isn't it?
it's immensely popular. I think it's waned a little bit. Like a couple years, that was a legitimate thing. But now I think people are like on to it a little bit.
This particular episode, Kanye has his fashion line.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
I don't know.
So Kim was going to, I think, Japan to model pieces of the collection, and then she would do a selfie of herself out and about so she could post it to Insta, and then people would be talking about it.
I think you just described every episode that's ever taken place in
okay,
that show.
Okay, well, I don't know.
I think that's what happens every week.
Maybe.
It's like Yeezy.
Yeezy.
Oh.
That's it. Thank you, Mary.
Yeezy like a Sunday morning?
No, Yeezy with a Y.
Oh.
But I'm not slamming Kanye West, and I'm not slamming Kim Kardashian. I'm just making some observations here.
Yes.
It's not that fashionable, in my opinion.
Oh, Wendy, what are you saying?
One time she had like an Adidas shirt on. That's not his.
Right.
And she had like a puffer coat, which is, when I was in high school, I had
like a parka looking
coat?
Yeah,
but you know, like it looks like a marshmallow. It's really puffy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Hers was a little cropped a little more so it could highlight her rear end.
Oh. They make coats to highlight your rear end.
Yeah, because it's short. It's like a midriff one. You wouldn't want to cover that piece of art,
no,
would you?
No, no, no. I'd put neon lights on it. And giant arrows, like from the grand prize game, pointing at it.
Would you put the beeper on for when you backed up?
Yes.
Oh, you got
definitely put the beeper on.
You guys really should watch what you say today. Donna's on the line. Hi, Donna.
Hi, I have a little People magazine information for you.
What is it?
Brody and Brandon Jenner, their mother is Elvis Presley's Linda Thompson.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. She was Elvis's longtime girlfriend, Linda Thompson.
Yes, and that's who their mother is.
Actually,
Bruce Jenner is, this is from the second marriage. Bruce Jenner, the first time when he was an Olympic athlete, was married to a lady, and they had three children together. And I think her name was Christy.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And they had three children together. So Bruce has been a busy person.
I guess so. Wow. And the two boys that we just described, Brody and Brandon, are they in any of these TV shows that the Kardashians make or not?
I think in and out. I think they were mad at their father in the very beginning, and they were kind of ignored through his marriage to Chris.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You better keep up with People magazine.
You're right, Donna.
I'm going to the dentist today for a root canal, and I'm looking very forward to going to Dr. Paul's office because I get to keep up on all the People, so I'll read it there.
There you go. It's quality entertainment.
Donna, thank you for the call. Have a great week.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Except the People magazines you see in the dentist's office now, like the front page will be, Night Court adding a new bailiff.
No,
stuff like that.
Not at Dr. Paul's office.
He keeps the date on it?
I'm telling you, I scheduled a root canal just so I could catch up on all the new magazines.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
You know, subscription.
Yep. He's got all that stuff.
Does he?
He's got a parenting magazine, Highlights, of course.
Oh.
The People, the Us.
Wow.
He's got everything.
A Reader's Digest, somewhere. Digest,
yeah. I don't
think
he has that. He's still hip for that.
I get that. It's great.
Mary's still getting Reader's Digest.
I do.
Wow. Is it online or is it actually that
no,
little
No, I
tiny...
get the little... It's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep.
A lot of interesting facts.
We will take a quick break and then discuss more with you. We're at 312-981-7200 if you have something to say. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm eating a gummy bear. I apologize.
Why wouldn't you, Wendy? There's nothing to apologize for.
Flavor? They all taste the same.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah? Interesting.
There's no...
No differentiation between the gummy bear flavors at all? Nothing?
Hey, next Saturday, August 24th, you can gear up for back to school and meet someone that I saw her last week, Judy Pilak.
Oh.
I miss her. She's the goodbye girl, of course, and she'll be at the Goodwill store in Lombard from noon to 2 p.m. That's next Saturday, August 24th. I think I'm going to pop by and see her.
You should. Miss her.
So they all taste the same.
Yeah, the gummy bears.
And yet I bet you have a favorite.
These are new ones. These are made with real fruit juice.
Yeah.
Everything tastes the same.
They all taste the same? Yeah.
I don't know. I really... It's supposed to... be different flavors. Oh, yeah. Cherry, lemon, pineapple, orange, apple, and strawberry.
But if they're made with real fruit juice, they must put some effort in.
You had a couple. Did they taste really
They tasted different to me.
You have a more...
discernible palate?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Go see Judy Pilak. Bring her some gummy bears. It's the special study and play kids corner that Judy has created from her amazing finds from Goodwill. Even better, one lucky customer will win it. She does a great job with upcycling and making things. So it's a study and play kids corner. Other giveaways include tickets to sports games, including the Chicago White Sox, and Goodwill store gift cards. You can also snack on tasty treats as you shop. So stop on by. The Goodbye Girl, Judy Pilak, is going to be at the Goodwill store in Lombard August 24th. Your back to school shopping starts there. Details at wgnradio.com/events. I'm gonna go see her.
Yeah, you should go see her. Say hi from all of us. While you were watching Keeping Up with Kardashians, how many episodes did you say? Three or four. I watched two motion picture classics over the weekend that couldn't be more different. On Saturday night, I watched on Svengoolie's program, they showed House of Wax with
Vincent
Price.
That's a good one.
It really is good. I forgot. I mean, it's really horrible and really great at the exact same time. And do you know who? I totally forgot that he was in this, but in one of his first ever motion picture roles, a guy that would go on to be a leading man in Hollywood, but in this, he's just Vincent Price's assistant.
Errol Flynn?
No, it's not Errol Flynn.
John Astin?
No. You're not.
Yeah, I got to get one more.
You're not even close.
I'll
give you a hint. He was a movie. He was a hero in movies, and yet he looked like a bad guy. Does that help at all? He was almost.
John Wayne.
No. John Wayne didn't look like a bad guy. Do you think he did?
Well,
no.
How bad?
John Wayne, he was just big. He was just big. This guy almost always played the leading man, the good guy in a movie, but when you'd look at him, you go, no, this is a villain. This guy can't be playing good guys. Look at him.
Snidely Whiplash?
No, that's a cartoon.
Oh.
That's not a real guy.
Who was it?
Charles Bronson.
Seriously?
He plays, Vincent Price's assistant. And I forgot, this is silly, because I hadn't seen House of Wax since I was a little kid, and I forgot about this one scene, but all through the movie, Vincent Price's character... And I guess I don't need to go into details on what House of Wax is, but he's a bad guy who runs obviously a House of Wax where he kills people and then he takes their body and dips it in wax and then puts it up in his wax museum, you know, dressed like Joan of Arc or, you know, somebody from history. So all through the movie, Vincent Price's character is in a wheelchair and he has his assistant pushing him around in a wheelchair. But then at the very end of the movie, during the climax scene, he gets out of the wheelchair to chase after the
girl.
Spoiler
alert.
And everybody is shocked by it. And I remember as a kid seeing that, it knocked me out. It's like, oh my God, I so believed that guy that he was in a wheelchair, that he was paralyzed and he had to. And then this, what a surprise. But as an adult, when you see it, you go, why did he waste everyone's time with a fake wheelchair?
To build it up.
I guess, but...
Build up the trust. This guy can't get me. He can't walk. Little did they know.
I guess, but to spend the whole movie, like... If I were the guy pushing the wheelchair, and I would have thrown Vincent Price in the vat of wax. Like, wait, you knew you could walk, and you forced me to push you around in the wheelchair through every scene in this movie? Seriously?
Did he punch him?
No, they were friends.
And that was Charles Bronson?
No, this was the other guy. Charles Bronson just... In every scene, Charles Bronson is just making like a face. Like,
that's what he did in Breakout.
Yeah, that's what he did in everything he was in.
I liked him, though.
Charles Bronson?
Yeah, I liked his movies.
But then I know we don't have time to discuss this now, maybe later, but I watched House of Wax, and then last night I watched The African Queen. So those are two movies that honestly...
completely different.
They couldn't be more different. Unless Humphrey Bogart was in a wheelchair through the whole movie, and then he jumps out at the end with Katharine Hepburn.
Of course, you know. The similarity is they're both about 50 years old.
They're both really old movies. But needed to be... You know, you turn on the TV and something's starting, you go, I can't say no to The African Queen. Starting up right now.
That happened to me too yesterday, but it was Waterboy. That's what I watched.
Adam Sandler?
Yeah, and Bates. What's her name?
Bates?
Kathleen Bates.
Oh, Kathy Bates?
Yes,
Kathy Bates
yes, yes.
Also in that.
She was in it, and
Charles Bronson?
No. He played the football.
Yeah.
No, I that just came on, and I'm like, I've never seen
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you just go, all right, well, everything lined up. It's starting, and I'm here. I should watch this.
That's the difference between you and me. Although, Svengoolie, we have DVR'd because we DVR it every week.
Oh, yeah.
It's, House of
Wax. Do you know what I mean? When a movie is just so, it's so stupid and it's excellent at the exact same time. You go, why? How can this be both?
But as a kid, watching through Billy Left kid eyes was very scary and
different.
Oh, it would
have terrorized me.
Now it's considered campy.
I know.
Right?
You're right. Yeah. Absolutely true.
All right. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. He is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. And Eric Zorn will be coming by at 11:30. And we'll keep our eyes to the skies because there's supposed to be some bad weather happening.
Possibly tornadoes, they're saying.
See,
maybe.
It's a crazy thing. I'm kind of a weather nerd.
Yeah.
And I keep abreast of the situation all the time because I like to know what's happening and when it's happening. And I think it's pretty incredible that they can predict tornadoes before they're even happening.
Sure. Well, there's just a slight maybe.
I know,
south
but
of I-80 and
other than like the last few years, you never heard, and there could be a tornado.
Right.
But I mean, obviously, some of these thunderstorms could produce tornadoes, and that's what you're warning.
I had a new roof put on Saturday, so I'm really
good timing.
Hoping that it's terrible.
Well, at least you can check it out then.
Right.
All right. Well, that's all coming up, and maybe some other things as well.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leffitz, Wendy Snyder. In about a half hour, Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune will join us, and we'll talk about whatever Eric Zorn from the Tribune wants to talk about. Did you see what Chase Bank is doing in Canada? I've never heard of anything like this before.
Is it good or bad?
It's interesting.
All right.
Well, it's good if you're...
Right.
I mean...
If you owe money on your credit card, if you have a Chase credit card...
Yeah,
and
maybe
you live
I do.
In Canada...
I don't.
Chase has decided that it is not a lucrative enough business. The credit card business in Canada is not lucrative enough for them. So they're pulling out. They already announced that. But the big announcement is, if you owe them money, say you accrued a, you know, several $1,000 debt on your credit card, Chase says, it's on the house. Don't worry about it. You have no more credit card debt.
What if I move to Canada tonight?
Yes.
That's or is it too late?
I'm shocked that I got through the end of the sentence without you moving to Canada.
The only stipulation is no, you cannot charge your moving expenses on your Chase card.
Right. They're adamant about that. So, to
How
Steve's
can they
point,
do that? That's like free college.
Well, it's so funny you say that because that's exactly what I'd put in the same bracket as because your kids are just a little bit younger than mine. We have paid the way for my daughters to go to college, and then we're finding out now that some of the candidates are hoping to erase all the debt, the student loan debt. Well,
it's
tricky.
What about these people? I'm sorry, getting off Chase's topic for a minute. What about these people who have, you know, both parents have taken on two or three jobs to send their kids to the college that they wanted to go to? That's your first mistake. Don't send them where they want to go.
Right.
Send them where you can afford.
Yeah.
But all these people that have already paid that stuff off, are they going to get like some kind of reimbursement?
No.
Well, then that's not fair.
It's not fair, but by the same token, all right, so my wife and I have slaved to keep up with college payments for the last 4 years, right? And one of my daughters is done. My other daughter has another year to go. But I don't look at it as unfair. I just go, well, you know, those are people who, honestly, this will change their lives. They'll have the money.
It would change your life.
It would. No, but no question about it.
And things change. I mean, you can't.
Right.
You know, my first condo, I think my mortgage was 11%. Should I get that money back because now people are getting 3% mortgages?
No, but more than free college and more than this eliminated debt, I mean, maybe a reduction of sorts, but can't the government do something to push the colleges to get their tuition a little lower?
That's what I would love a candidate to say, we're going to make a ceiling where you can't pay more than this amount for any college in the United States. I would love for that to happen.
Unless you're Lori Loughlin.
Unless your mom's
then you have
in
to pay more.
House. Right.
But then you're talking about private colleges. I don't know if you can do that.
I don't think you can, Steve. That's the problem.
Yeah, but then people would blow off the, you know, if there was a different, I think when I went to Illinois State in 1981, I was trying to tell my kids this.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe, I don't know, $7,000 a semester with room and board. That's, I only made it one semester, but $14,000 for the year.
Yeah.
That's doable for many, many people.
Right.
now it's closer to 45.
Yeah.
A year.
I know.
And that's not a private institution. If you want to make the choice to go to a private school and you can afford it, so be it. But
yeah.
I thank God one of my sons is at COD, which I can't believe, A, the education he's gotten, and two, all the money we've saved.
Sure.
And then my other one, 2 years away from college, but he wants to go to USC, so that's going to...
That won't be costly at all. You'll be fine.
Is there a junior college next to USC?
Yes.
All right, he may be going there.
All right, so in both of these cases, to your point, I can see where somebody would go, well, that's not fair. I've been doing what I'm supposed to do and making payments. Like, we have a Chase Bank card.
So do we.
And
I don't live in Canada, nor do you.
Right.
It should be all the Chase people.
But they're not. Chase isn't pulling out of their United States operation.
But they've removed so many ATMs.
Right, based on that alone.
Yeah, they should reimburse me.
Wipe away my debt. I got to drive around now to find an ATM. That's not fair.
And they still charge fees if you use someone else's card, although there are other banks that don't I might have to change to.
Right. American-based Chase Bank is giving its customers above the border one last gift before it bows out of the Canadian credit card market. Signage is displayed outside a JPMorgan Chase and Company branch in New York. The bank has decided to forgive all outstanding balances for Canadians who use their two credit cards following an exit from the market.
Is there a limit?
I don't think there is.
Like up to $10,000 or whatever?
No, I was looking in the story to see if there was.
$50?
No, it seems to be limitless.
Wow.
So that means if you were horrible with managing your credit card, you're the one who benefits the most from this.
See, that's why I think, you know, just go ahead and do it because someone will bail you out. And I'm saying that jokingly. Please, no one think I mean that.
Chase Bank, which is part of JPMorgan Chase, closed all their credit card accounts in March of 2018. And customers were then expected to continue to pay their debt. But all that changed on Friday when the company decided to forgive all outstanding balances on either of their two Visa cards as part of their exit following 13 years in the Canadian credit card market, this according to the CBC. Chase made the decision to exit the Canadian credit card market, said Maria Martinez, vice president of communications over at Chase Card Services. And as part of that exit, all credit card accounts were closed on or before March of 2018. A further business decision has been made to forgive all outstanding balances in order to complete the exit. Now, here's a question that doesn't seem to be answered in this story. Wouldn't it be easier for them to just keep up with it? I mean, I'm sure there are costs with bookkeeping to keep on the people who still owe them money, but it seems like that would be imbalanced. It seems like whatever that cost would be to keep a staff up and running for all the incoming money they have, it's got to be worth more to them than just saying to everybody, no matter how much you owe us on the card, thanks, let's call it a day. There's no way that can balance out, can it?
No, but you said like they ceased operations March of 2018.
Right.
So I bet a lot of these people have paid it down considerably. They've had over a year to...
I'm sure they've paid it down considerably, but you know how there's a minimum payment that you can make. So let's say, I'm just grabbing a number, let's say you owe $10,000. So whatever that minimum payment is, even if you've been paying off that $10,000 at your minimum rate for a year and a half, you're still going to owe the bulk of it.
That's true.
And that's just one imaginary customer. Multiply that by the thousands and thousands who still owe them money.
And you can pay your stuff online, so it's not like they really need a staff to like stay there.
Someone's got to juggle the numbers. Someone's got to be there to balance the numbers, but I can't imagine that cost being even close to the money that they are still owed, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. At what point do you just say, hey, let's cut our losses?
Right.
Cody Parkey.
Right.
But I mean, at some point you have to say, you know what, let's swallow this so we can move forward.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow, that's incredible. We were talking about the expenses of college and forgiving student debt, which is a whole can of corn right there. Carrie, your thoughts on this?
Hey, guys. This is really, it's near and dear to me because you can do this without debt. This is backing up a step. Forgiving loans, that's another deal. But I have a PhD in chemistry. My wife has a master's degree in nursing, and we walked out of college with $2,400 in student loans.
Wait, $2,400 or $24,000?
100.
That's it?
And the only reason I took one is because I needed a car that ran.
Yeah.
So it could have been zero. It's just smart choices, and there are alternatives. No, everybody doesn't have to go to Harvard, Northwestern, or let me rephrase that. You don't have to go there initially. You can always get there. My wife and I, we both started at a junior college, Harper, great college. Probably some of the best education I ever got. Then right. We went to state school. And then we moved up and state school. I got my PhD in chemistry. She got her master's degree in nursing. And you move on from there. There are ways to do this where you don't have to just say, I want to go to MIT or Harvard.
Right.
And jumping right into it, not knowing even what you want to do, you know.
But, Carrie, I'm sure you know plenty of people who didn't go to the best schools in the nation, but they went through a college for 4 years or maybe 5 years, and they're down $120,000,
$130,000,
$140,000, right?
That's true, too. That's absolutely true. Absolutely. Yep.
Carrie, when did you graduate from college? I'm just curious.
I got my bachelor's in 90 and my PhD in 95.
All right. The two things that weren't there then is college wasn't as expensive and there wasn't social media where other parents shame your kid for not going to the top of the line school. That's what
this
has happened.
And, this is true.
You know, I think about it. Really, I think ISU was 16,000 at the most a year. That's with room and board, maybe
when
a little
went.
More with books.
Yeah.
And now that's closer to 40. That inflation's right. Crazy.
Well, it is crazy, but if you compare that to today, a Brandeis, an MIT, a Harvard, mm-hmm. Now you're talking double or triple it. So, you know, I got a world-class, I went to NIU. I got a world-class education there.
A Husky.
And I am a Husky. I'm a season ticket holder.
Regardless of what size pants you wear, that's still a pretty
good... No, the mascot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, they don't have those anymore. Sears is closed. You can't get the Huskies.
Oh, all right.
Someone else should pick it up.
Seriously, it's... You can get a really great education. You just got to think about it and just don't dive into it. And if you... Here's the reason I jumped into this is because I didn't know what I wanted to do. Everybody said, "Oh, you're smart. You're good at science and math. You should be an engineer." Guess what? I didn't like engineering.
Yeah,
so I had no guidance, so I went to a junior college. And you know what? I decided that I really like chemistry, and now I'm doing pretty well. You know, and with no 48 billion dollar loans.
You guys probably paid off that debt in a few months, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good for you.
Great story. My first job, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, I feel so strong about this. I'm actually thinking about starting a not-for-profit organization where, you know, I educate people that you don't have to go to, you know, you don't have to do this. You can get a world-class education.
And not owe money for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Carrie,
exactly.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. More on this next. Stick around, and if you have something to add, we're at 312-981-7200. All right, two conversations kind of going on at the same time, but they're in the same family. This all started because we were telling you that in Canada, if you were a Chase Bank customer, if you had your credit cards through Chase Bank, they're pulling out of the credit card business in Canada, and so they've said to people who still owe them money, don't worry, this one's on us, say. We'll take care of this. Enjoy the hockey game. Enjoy your maple syrup. We will take care of the rest. So you don't have to pay off your credit card because Chase is paying it off for you. This led to a conversation about the college system here in the United States, where some of the candidates have said that they want to eliminate the debt that you would owe. They'll just forgive the debt, and is that realistic or not?
And someone has texted that Illinois State, I went in 1981, it says $748. Now, I don't know if that's per semester, and I know that that doesn't include room and board, but it sure wasn't $16,000.
Right.
It probably was four.
Yeah, right.
I mean, just the...
I know the price of everything has gone up.
But this way is out of,
yeah, it's out of the ballpark.
Tom has a thought for us. Tom, thanks for calling.
Hi, Bill, Wendy, good show.
Thank
I like
you.
Listening
Thank
you. To you.
Thank you.
Actually, you know, you really haven't addressed, or it doesn't seem to be addressed, is one of the reasons. In fact, I went to Illinois State and I graduated in 77.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember. It was by, I think it was about $1,200 for room and board.
Jeez.
For the year, you know. But I'm looking, there's a, you know, there's the salaries and pensions of the state universities. It's second, actually, to the teachers' union in the state.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I'm looking at, this is from 2017. I'm sure I can't read the people's names. I'd be more than glad to send this link to you. It's open to books. It was actually published in Forbes.
Yeah.
It's all credible.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't name, but, you know, I'm looking at salaries are, you know, this is from 2017, and I'm not sure if they get that 3% COLA bump, too. But, you know, I'm looking at them, $350,000, $275,000, you know.
$350,000 a year?
Was pension of $400,000. Pardon?
$350,000 a year a teacher gets paid.
Yes. Well, professors. Oh, no, you're professors. $265,000, $261,000, $270,000. I'm just going down. It would be more than, I mean, they've got them for every district.
Right.
People really have to start looking at this stuff because it's not only just the universities. I live in Naperville, you know, good school district. My son went there, but I'm absolutely floored at what some of the teachers are making. These, you know, I mean, they're always kind of put down or put it all lowly paid teacher.
Well, there are many
looking at this
teachers who aren't paid very well, and I mean, I don't know. I feel like a good teacher should get paid a decent amount of money. They're shaping the minds of our kids.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'd be more than glad to send you.
Yeah, send it out. I'd like to see it.
I want to see where you live, you know, and that school district more than glad to, you know, to send this information to you if you wanted to look.
Yeah, send it out, Tom. That'd be great.
And I would send that to
just here at WGN. Just
here, Jasmine will give you the information.
Jasmine will give
you the info. We appreciate you, Colin.
I don't begrudge any teacher making as high a salary as they can possibly make, but a lot of the schools are just keeping money kind of in their endowment bank,
and
it's
not
in the billions.
It.
I mean, the teachers are well paid and they deserve to be well paid, but it's just schools being greedy.
Yeah, I can't believe, like, Illinois State, according to these people, like, what did he say, $1,200 a year?
Mm-hmm.
And now look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is the percentage that college tuition has gone up? It does not match the inflation.
The rest of life?
Yeah.
Not even close.
So,
not even close.
You know,
but
no.
Wouldn't you go behind a candidate? I mean, I understand it's very glamorous to say, hey, we're going to do our best to wipe out any kind of student loan debt. That's a very exciting thing to say. It's not that realistic, but it's very exciting to hear. But I wish they would go after some sort of a ceiling on what schools could charge. That seems more realistic
to
me.
Yeah, and then because the free college isn't going to work either. Because you can't give away free college. And then if teachers get a pay cut, they're going to leave. So how do they run the college? And who's going to pay for it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That can't happen.
Right.
I mean, Bernie, I know. Elizabeth, I know you're saying that. But
right.
How about just a ceiling on, you know, state schools can't go over, I don't know, $15,000 a year?
That would be realistic and fine by me. I would love to hear that. And then if you do want to spend the extra money and go to a private school,
that's
by all
business.
Means, go for it.
But state right? schools.
Right. Right.
Let's run for office. I don't know what kind of office.
I got stuff. I can't. Wendy, I wish I could. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news. Eric Zorn will stop by. He's got some stuff to talk about. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Wendy, you know Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune.
He's
sitting right over there. Hi,
I'm right
Eric.
Here. I'm dressed right here. I just don't talk about me like I'm not here.
No,
you're dressed like Don Johnson today with the T-shirt and the suit coat.
I've got my Tribune Union shirt on.
I like it.
I'm starting bargaining today with the company.
You look sporty.
So. Yeah, thank
and
you.
Bargainy.
Well, and bargainy.
I'm not part of the bargaining team, but I'm wearing my shirt to support them for their efforts.
All right. Here's a couple of questions, and they all center around Jeffrey Epstein. Did he take his own life, or did somebody take his life?
My guess is that he took his own life.
Yeah.
And that you know, the question that I saw someone on Twitter said, I'm the guard who was in charge of watching over Epstein. I was lured away from my post by a turkey leg attached to a string. I'm sorry.
Wow. Someone obviously joking.
Well, someone obviously joking, but yeah. The question is, well, why weren't these guards keeping
doing their
closer
job.
And closer watch on him? Evidently, they were working overtime, but they had also taken... Epstein had a roommate, and I guess that's how one of the ways they cut down your suicide risk is to put you in with a roommate.
Unless the roommate kills you, which... Had,
it could be, yeah. But I'm guessing that they
So he was
up.
With a roommate,
the roommate
at the time?
Roommate matching service like at colleges. No, I don't know. He was not. No, they took the roommate out, and they were... It's unclear how often they looked in on his cell. I seriously doubt any implication that someone came into his cell and killed him. I mean, you know, it's like...
You don't think that's possible?
How could somebody do that?
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think it's possible. I wonder, though, I mean, it's one of those questions that I'd like to have answers. Why weren't they more vigilant about what was going on in that cell?
High-profile case.
Who had made a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have monitored that cell specifically a lot better, put cameras, security cameras... I don't know if you're allowed to put them inside the cell, but certainly right outside the cell to see who's coming and going at any time.
And also, aren't there, I don't know, how do you have the means to do that in your cell if you're...
Right.
Right. If you're on he wasn't on suicide watch anymore, but I mean, you can hang yourself with a bed sheet, so why is there a bed sheet in there? And how can somebody kill themselves in prison? Why aren't people protecting these people?
Well, how can you kill yourself with... I don't know how you kill yourself with a bed sheet if there's nothing to
Aren't there bars?
Fix it to. No, they're not bars in those. I don't believe in those cells. I don't think so. Like they're just windowless rooms or plexiglass windows.
Is there a post on the bed?
I would guess not. This is something that I haven't really researched this.
Right.
This was the question with Sandra Bland. Remember the woman in Texas? Like, how in the world did she have the means to do that? Why aren't these cells, these jail cells in Sandra Bland's case, these prison cells in Epstein's case, why aren't they completely secured against the possibility that you could... I can imagine a situation, yeah, you could have a bed sheet, but a bed sheet that is a tearaway-style bed sheet
right.
or something. You know, it seems like a real massive screw-up, right?
So some of the speculation is, because of his, I'll say checkered past, but it's way, way worse than a checkered past... He knew enough about people close to him where he could have spilled some beans and gotten a lot of people into trouble. So that's why people think that somebody may have taken his life instead of him taking his own.
He's facing 45 years in prison. I don't think that was something he was looking forward to.
Well, he was, what, 66? He faced...
Right, I know, but still, he'd never see the daylight again.
He was never going to be free again. And so the idea that he would be a risk for suicide would be huge. So... It would seem to me that they would have really kept a watch on this guy. And yeah, Bill, you're right. The names that have been floated associated with Epstein include...
Our current president, some past presidents.
Our current president, some past presidents, Prince Andrew.
Right. And heads of business.
And the governor of former governor of New Mexico was listed.
And I believe comedian Chris Tucker's name has been thrown
really?
Into this.
Really?
Which is a very bizarre... Yeah, when I saw the list and I saw his name on the list, I go... That's a peculiar name to have.
He just
on
wanted
list.
People to talk about him
Maybe.
Again.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. None of this stuff would surprise me, given the kind of circles these guys were running
right.
in. So you're right. So there's all. It's just like not to be too crass about it, but it's like a game of Clue.
Right.
Everyone's got motive and opportunity, and you know who could have done this.
But Eric, what exactly is the connection between all these big names and Jeffrey Epstein? Is there some inference that he was, you know, he dealt in sex trafficking of underage girls? Is somebody saying that some of these friends of his, quote unquote friends of his, were?
Of course, that's the
speculation.
That's the speculation. The inference that you would have someone that he would have, in order to save his own skin, he would testify against any of the people we've named
right.
or others.
Yeah,
that if what we believe to be true about him is the case, he was certainly involved in a substantially large operation that was facilitating this.
Yeah.
So that there are people who know, and my guess is right now that there are other people who know. If let's say that politician X was a friend of his, and Epstein invited them, and they did these terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
it wasn't done in a vacuum. There were people there. There not only were there the
other facilitators
the victims,
that would
but
make
there
this
people
happen.
Who had to facilitate this. Right. People who would go out and find these women and bring them in, who were witnesses to a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So all those people are still out there, and the investigation is going to go on.
And some new information came out, was just released the day he
just
killed
the day,
himself,
yeah. So,
allegedly.
So there's all kinds of possibilities. To my mind, there's all kinds of possibilities that this will be, that this is far from over in terms of who gets implicated and what happens. Not necessarily in Epstein's death, but who gets implicated in all the things that he had done before this. So I think this is going to keep going. And the other thing is that, you know, Epstein had very high powered attorneys, and all the money in the world to defend himself. Some of these people who are lower down will not have the same kinds of legal muscle.
Right.
So it's not necessarily the greatest news in the world.
Sure.
That for them. You know, and the other thing is that, of course, that Epstein was, when he goes, when he dies, no one can flip on him. No one can say, well, I'll offer you evidence on Epstein if you're lazy on me. Suddenly, they're the big fish.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting and troubling situation. But again, I don't think anybody killed Epstein. No, I really don't think that. But I do wonder if word maybe got around or word was sent down, like, you're supposed to look on him every half hour. Don't bother with that. He'll be fine. You know,
this is a terrible thing to say about somebody, but I'm imagining there were a lot of people who were not too upset to hear of his death.
No, I think a lot of people were. A lot of
The victims don't get any kind of closure on this.
The victims are very upset. Yeah, they're not. They wanted him to
still some financial closure, but nothing beyond that, right? They can still sue his estate for money.
His estate, but I think they wanted to see him in the dock. They wanted
the truth to come out.
They wanted the truth to come out. They wanted him to admit and apologize. Kind of the way, Larry Nassar, I don't know how much apologizing he actually ended up doing, but to see your victimizer brought to justice rather than, and a lot of people would say he took the easy way out, people who might have wanted him dead by legal means did not want to see him take that way out. So it's very interesting. There's something about how we talk about this that's kind of an interesting
issue. Can we discuss that when we return?
Do we have to wait?
Yes, we have to take a small break.
Okay.
More of Eric Zorn.
You guys should get an Academy Award for your acting.
There's been talk
of
that, Wendy. There's been some talk. All right, we'll continue this in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. He can also be heard Mondays here on this show, like he is right now. But you also have an award-winning podcast, The Mincing Rascals. Yes.
John Williams is the host, Mincing Rascals. It usually launches, or whatever the proper term is for podcasts, Thursday afternoon in time for your drive home.
Oh, very nice.
So it's good. We have a nice conversation about the week's news.
So, Eric, we were talking about the Jeffrey Epstein situation.
And one of the things that I learned, I keep getting enlightened as I do reading, I learned that it is no longer considered to be the right thing to say someone committed suicide.
Right.
That you say that they died by suicide or died of suicide.
Yes.
And it's something that I read up on this on some various, websites devoted to this topic.
Can you explain why?
Well, the one thing says there, because it harks back to an era when suicide was considered a sin or a crime. Think about the times we use the word commit, like commit adultery or commit murder. So it sounds like something that someone, it doesn't take into account the fact that this is that suicide is a when one dies of suicide, it is very much the product of a mental disorder, profound depression, and it's not something that someone can help or makes this affirmative decision. And people who make attempts and survive often talk about just the overpowering urge that comes along with that, and that's why every time we mention the topic, we talk to people about calling the suicide hotlines. There are people you can talk to, people who understand what you're going through, who aren't going to judge you, who aren't going to freak out the way a family member might, but someone who can actually help you work through that. But
wouldn't you put it in the bracket of things that because you've said it a certain way for decades, you almost have to be very careful of your wording because you forget that the phraseology has changed.
It is, and it's something that I had never thought of this before. It never occurred to me that you should think about how you refer to suicide that way. And it's not going to be a difficult adjustment to make. It's an adjustment that I'm sure I'll fail.
Yeah.
And there are a lot
but
of
But at least you'll try.
Well, I wrote a column just the other day about other things that I had discovered that had sort of changed their valence. And one of them is dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd read this in Laura Washington's column in the Sun-Times and elsewhere where they no longer reference is now locks, L-O-C-S, that people don't say dreadlocks. And we did some research and found an article in Ebony from 2016 talking about the fact that this is that because of the connotations of the word dread, that it is now considered more proper to refer to locks
what?
Instead of dreadlocks.
Dreads. Dreadlocks. I love them. Give me Bob Marley.
There you
That's
go.
What it's...
You know,
locks, that could be me too, and they're not the same cool braided awesome way.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that I had not thought of, and if that's the direction things are going,
yeah,
and the communication is still occurring, I don't mm-hmm. have any problem with that. The other word that I wrote about again that I had not given any thought to whatsoever is marijuana. And Mary Schmeek had done a column on this about a month ago, and I had noticed some other references, which is that marijuana was a term that was sort of pushed and popularized nearly 100 years ago by marijuana or cannabis prohibitionists. That this then it was in order to give it a to associate it with Hispanics and have a foreign sounding term.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah, and so
never even thought of it.
Cannabis was what people referred to, and then it was marijuana, and it made it sound like, oh, these dark people from south of the border are bringing it up.
Right.
So it has this arguably racist past, and given how many synonyms there are for weed and pot and ganja and all the other things that you could ways you can refer to cannabis, it just seemed like, okay, well, if some percentage of the population is going to consider that to be racist or have these racist connotations,
please.
See Mary,
you almost
Mary's
need,
do it, but Wendy's not going to.
You almost need a website or a service to provide you with what is allowable and what is no longer, because it changes on a daily basis.
See,
now.
I don't mind. People get all huffy and they roll their eyes, like Wendy over
well,
here.
Well, no, but marijuana, I never thought of any.
No.
Racial connotation at all
no,
ever,
but there are a lot of words like that like the word retarded.
Yeah.
you just don't use retarded anymore.
Right.
It's very weird to hear you even say that. Like no, I almost hit the dump button.
You have
Seriously.
To say it to get the point of what you can or cannot say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is a very taboo word
now. That I believe like when I was growing up, I remember this was I think they were like commissions and. Public bodies that had that name, had that word in it, but we no longer refer to people that way.
Right.
We no longer refer to people as handicapped so much anymore. It's,
right.
It's differently abled and so on. And so there's all kinds
differently
of
abled.
I think so.
I like
yeah.
that.
Well, the one I had always heard was the replacement was physically challenged, but then people said no, that's also incorrect. You can't say that either.
Yeah, or a person with physical challenges.
Right.
One of the things that I read in doing some research for this was the Netroots Nation, which is this gathering of the most woke liberals in the country. It was in Philadelphia, and they passed out a flyer, the Inclusion and Etiquette Guide, and it spoke to a lot of these things. And it said things like, physically challenged, differently abled, can be patronizing. Use person with a disability instead of disabled person. People with disabilities, as they say, should not be said to be suffering or struggling. They may be managing or celebrating their symptoms and diagnosis. Suffering is optional and subjective. One of the things they talked about that I had never heard of, tell me if you've heard of this, is the term BIPOC, B-I-P-O-C.
No.
You heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It stands for Black and Indigenous People of Color. And it recognizes that they have been historically born and currently are bearing the brunt of state-based violence and oppression. Another way of referring to such people is sun-kissed. This is a way that avoids references to whiteness in some ways,
yeah.
in comparison to whiteness. And so you don't say color as opposed to white, and suggesting that white is standard. Now, some of the stuff I am not on board with. Like there's some people who say you can't refer to people as guy to a group of people as guys.
Oh yes, you can. I'm a girl,
I'm with Wendy on that. I don't think we are there. I think
but
that
you
guys,
could see where some women would be offended, but
right?
you don't know.
Right, I think that word guys has transformed over the years from something that referred to men
guys
boys
only.
It's a group of people.
It is a group of people, hey, and it has
I'm offended by that one. You see,
no kidding.
Less than a year ago,
is that better?
That's better. Less than a year ago, I said Eskimo on the air, and Wendy said, "You can't say Eskimo." And I said, "Can't you?" And half the texters said, "No, that's outdated." And then the other half went, "Yes, you can absolutely still say Eskimo, but I still don't know."
Well, it's I think you say Inuit people, maybe, or yeah. I'm not
what
sure.
About, but Inuit pies doesn't sound right. Would you eat an Inuit pie?
I would gladly. No, but the thing about this is I understand people are over earnest about this stuff sometimes. Yeah. And they're censorious, and that you if you say someone committed suicide, for instance, and people will jump on you, say don't say that,
right?
Realizing that these kind of changes are slow and they're difficult, and one of the things I refer to in my column about this was using the pronoun they to refer to people who are sort of gender non-binary, who prefer you're not supposed to say they prefer, who use the pronoun they.
But that's plural. That's what's
it
confusing.
It was plural. Now it will no longer be plural.
So my wife had a coworker who did not identify as male or female, and this person asked to be referred to as they. So when you would speak about this person, you would say, "Well, I think they can handle that." And my wife and I tried to do this, and it was difficult.
Sure.
I mean, even at home, we tried to do it. We were talking about this person. We would try to use they. And it just doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
We're just like, we're not there. But I think people of our kids' generation, all our kids' generation, are
I think they're already used to it.
I think they're used to it in a way that we're not in it. And it's because, and for me, it's not, I'm not grudging about it, morally, but I just grammatically,
right,
it's really difficult.
Yeah.
But if you grow up with that kind of stuff, it becomes common.
Sure.
And just like, our kids would not use, the R word to refer to someone with intellectual disabilities. As we might have, they would just never occur to them, and I think that they will get used to those kind of changes. And these changes are gradual, and
we should do the changes. We should make the effort.
Yeah, I think we should. And I'm gonna, like I said in my column, I can get by without the word marijuana. I can get by without the word dreadlocks. I don't need them. I can, as long as I can communicate what I'm talking about, I can,
Boy, that has everything to do with Bob Marley. Marijuana,
yes,
and dreadlocks.
How about that? Thanks, Eric.
Me. Good to see you guys.
Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune. Coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.